Hello and welcome to Visions of the Past. Typically, this is a podcast all about the lore of Assassin's Creed, but today marks a very special day in the history of Visions of the Past. 2 years ago today, we first learned about Altair ibn La'ahad in our very first episode. And since it's been 2 years, it's finally time to kick off December right in the grand 2 year celebration for Visions of the Past. Today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to take a look at the historic characters that we're going to shortly see. But before we get to the characters that you have met, let's first introduce you to Nick.
Hi. Hi everyone, I'm Nick. I'm also known as Icraig in the Twitter community and in Discord server, so you would probably would have seen me in the Sisterhood server as a moderator and a virtual photographer, streamer, possibly a little bit of video content creation in Instagram as well as in YouTube. That's pretty much it.
So I guess let's just jump into it. Why don't you tell me about your modern day character first before we start looking at your historic character that we're going to create?
So, for those who have known me pretty well, I'm a pretty, pretty huge fan of Unity. So, obviously, my character is going to be a Frenchman. And his name is Christophe Chris de la Lorraine. And yes, it's kind of a long, so call him Chris. So, that's what I kept the short name as. So, his first name is Christophe, and his last name is de la Lorraine. It's sort of like went as in what we had for Revelation. So it's like, you know, Ezio da la la la. So that's sort of a thing that I went over there. So that was like sort of like a throwback for my character. So my character is a hacker in the modern day. And because of him being a hacker, he got into some trouble. Obviously, because what good self-hacker does not get into trouble, right? So the character Chris here, while he is sort of the person who doesn't like, he likes to pin the like whatever mistakes he does on someone else. But unfortunately for this time, it happened to be someone of a company status. And because of that, I got hunted down, or as in Chris got hunted down. And that's where I meet with the secret organization known as the Serpent. So that's pretty much it into the intro of my modern day character.
The Serpent? Yeah. I don't remember discussing that. I thought we were the Brotherhood.
Oh, right, the Brotherhood. Because I was not
talking about your handler, quote unquote, the Servant.
Yeah. Oh, right. It was the Servant. Okay, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. That's all right. Everybody has met the Servant. She jumped a bar and punched cords in the face. So, yeesh. Yeah.
Okay. All right. A backstory. So, Chris is from Lorraine, the lower part of Lorraine, where he didn't come up from a very good family. He came up from somewhat of a medium to poor family, like a middle-class family, you could say. But even then, when he would say his name outside, he would be scorned by the upper echelon of the society, which caused him to take the path of being this hackerish. So that's pretty much it to be introduce with Chris. More will be introduced later on with the rest of the team.
That sounds great. So let's talk about the historic character that you'll be playing. Ancestor. What kind of class are you looking at playing?
A knight.
Okay.
So
I did
have a historical persona in mind when I made the knight character.
Okay.
So it was sort of along the lines, because usually we see the trope of, you know, an assassin being a Templar or who was long this, you never see the other part of it, right? A Templar converting themselves slowly. You see it through Maria, but it was not fully expressed or shown in the games or in the lore of how it's done. So I want to take through that part. So hence the night.
Gotcha. Do you have a name and any history for this night yet? And well, yes, let me rephrase this real quick. This would be history that would actually have happened, not necessarily right. what we'll see in the simulation, because simulations can be changed.
Right. So in history, she is known, again, it's a she. She is known as Florine of Burgundy, or Florine de Burgundy. She is, is this somewhat of a spoiler territory for those who have not finished Valhalla's latest DLC? So she is the daughter of Count Odo, the one that you meet in the Siege of Paris DLC. And she is the husband of one of the crusaders who would join in for the...
You mean wife, right?
Yeah, the wife, sorry. So she would join in to the battle with her husband in a way because she's traveling with him, but they get ambushed in around Turkey. So that's where she sort of escapes and is written away from history records. So I'm using that ambiguity of where she has escaped as part of my character, as a knight.
Perfect. That's actually enough that we need, that we can roll stats. All right, so that is a 4, 4, and a 3, 8, and 11. Okay.
That's 14.
Yes, but you dropped the lowest.
Oh, okay. So another one, I suppose. So slash R roll, it's 46.
Ooh.
Ooh, no.
Another 11. It's a good thing that one drops.
Lucky is only the least one for now.
Mm-hmm. 4, 7, 9. Oh boy, oof, I hope you start getting some decent ones. Oh, this one's not bad. 9, 11. No, 12. That one's 12.
It's in the average section, so that's fair. So slash roll 46 again.
Ouch.
Oh, no. No.
Ouch. That's a 1, 1, 3, and a 2. So ouch. A 6.
Ouch. I've got to keep that to my weakest one, whatever that is. Would that be intelligence? Oof. That's going to hurt. Okay.
One more.
Oof. Slash roll 46. The dice is not kind.
That one's much better. That's a 12.
Finally, somewhat better. It's more of an average, and then it goes like.
Whoop. Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of low numbers with that bot. Wow.
Yikes. That's going to hurt real bad.
So much for being a tank.
I know, right? It's going to hurt me so bad. I mean, that would make sense because, you know, she took on the work of a crusader. And,
right.
And then she's trying to become like her husband in a way. And obviously she fought against an ambush that would have, you know, reduced her whatever weakest ability is at that point. Fuck. Probably is going to be a deck save because I'm a paladin and making a deck save. So I'm like, out.
Well, the plus is the strength and the dexterity will pretty much be the only stat out of here that you use during the game. And I charisma hope so. Will be an average between Chris and your historic character.
Okay, Florine.
So the idea is you'll use Chris's mental stats, constitution, intelligence, and wisdom, average the charisma, and use Florine's strength and dexterity.
Perfect.
So how do you want to distribute it then?
Right, so my highest stats, what's my highest number in this?
You have 2 12s.
Two 12s. So one of them would be in what would the paladins would be good at. So that would be my constitution and my strength.
Okay.
So because, again, even though she's not a fighter class, she's sort of that person who would train rigorously to maintain that. The next
Makes
one would
sense.
Be wisdom. And
so
because,
you got two 11s in there.
Right. So that would be wisdom and... I can't believe I'm keeping dex for last. I know it's going to be bad, but wisdom and intelligence, I suppose. Was it? Like, what are the remaining stats? One second.
So
did I mess it up?
You have strength. You're missing charisma and dexterity. So yeah, strength,
so,
constitution, wisdom, intelligence.
Strength. So 11 would be for wisdom and for charisma because... Wisdom being in medicine and religion, to be fair.
Okay.
Charisma, mainly because she is a knight, she would have some standing. So
makes sense.
And towards the lower end of the spectrum would be intelligence, because me being from a rich daddy girl, I would not be so much of an intelligent girl, but I would be just enough to get by. Because I'm a husband of a crusader. Why would I be?
Yeah.
And dexterity for the last. I know I'm going to regret that,
so
but...
So you want to put dexterity on the 9 and intelligence on the 6? Or dexterity on the 6 and intelligence on the 9?
I would keep on intelligence on the lower end of the spectrum.
Okay. All right.
Dexterity can survive a bit because of her escapable traits, even though it's not good enough, but yeah.
It'll definitely make for some interesting role-playing when we start playing.
It's almost like an average character, but at the same time, she is like...
definitely
starting...
a level 1.
Yeah, definitely a level
definitely
1.
Level
one.
Yeah. You stated that she was a knight, so I'm okay with... I'm thinking of weapons, starting weapons and armor. So
right.
I'm okay with like a chainmail medium armor kind of thing, something that would fit her standing.
Chainmail and a holy symbol. Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
Right. I'll take the holy symbol, making that as the ring, that would the Templars use.
And I'm thinking, I don't think she'd be able to handle a great sword or a two-handed sword, but I can see like sword and shield or a pole arm.
A sword and shield. Sort of like a sword and shield or a javelin of a sword, like a spear.
Yeah.
If that makes sense in that era as well, because it's mostly in line with how the Templars are looked at, right? So.
Right.
Probably would be... A sword and a shield, definitely. But what type of sword, what type of shield?
Yeah, and that kind of detail we can talk about later.
Right, that's fair.
Okay.
But I was thinking, I wanted to go for the greatsword, but I can understand why it would be difficult. But yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So that is the
well, there is one way I would be okay with her wearing a greatsword. If it's Odo's. That essentially brings this to an end until we are ready to actually play the game. Yeah. Until then, I will see you on the Discord.
Yep. See you then.
So next up, we have Jamie. And Jamie, why don't you tell us a little bit about the modern day character that you're playing?
Well, her name is Caitlin Cat Devlin. She is ex-military in origin and has been she's been out of the military for a bit. She's kind of tall, standing around 5'9". She has a very Caucasian appearance, and is in her early 30s with, and is, you know, being former military, has that kind of, you know, military-esque build. to a degree. She has raven black hair that has red hair dye that looks like it's grown out or faded a little bit. And that she keeps, I think the term is like it's an undercut shave type of a thing on this, where it's shaved on the sides and just kind of hangs down on the one side. She keeps it about shoulder length. She has deep set hazel brown eyes, and her general style is like, it's a little bit, I think goth is what I would call it.
Yeah,
it's a little goth. She's got tattoos on her. She's got wings on her back. She's got a dragon sleeve on her arm, and you know, tattoos on her body. And she has almost always has some form of like killer winged eyeliner happening. And like, she very much has this aesthetic of, I will step on you if you ask me to, and I might kick your ass if you ask me to.
Okay.
And not necessarily in a way you will enjoy. Because of the military, she also keeps some practicality to her appearance. Like, she doesn't have like really long nails or anything like that. It's fashion, but also sensible, I guess would be the word I use. Not that fashion can't be sensible, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I gotcha. Is there anything else about the character you want to divulge, I guess, before we get started into where we last saw Kat?
Well, like I said, she's former military, has been out for a bit. She was a sniper when she was in the military. She's from the States. I forgot to say. Since she's been out, she's been not bouncing around. That sounds like she's had trouble keeping a job, but like, there's been stuff she's been working on, and if I remember correctly, we said that she has connections somewhat to both the company and the Brotherhood, right? I have that in my notes here somewhere, like vague, sort of.
She's right. She had been approached by the company to be a member of their security group.
That's what it was. Yes, I'm seeing it in my notes now. I have all my notes up and open, but you know, being someone who likes to write in their free time, there's a lot of them.
I'm sure there's a lot. So the last time we've seen Kat, she was sitting down to essentially meet her historic ancestor. What class have you chosen for that ancestor?
I'm kind of feeling the spy, honestly.
Okay.
Now, if I remember correctly from things we've discussed prior in regards to which side of the conflict of history we'll be on and things like that, if I remember correctly, you said that we are going to be on the Crusaders side, right?
Correct.
Am I remembering correctly?
Yes.
I had this kind of a, like, this probably doesn't jive with being with the Crusaders. So if it doesn't, that's fine. It's just, I had this this image of a local woman being utilized as a spy.
Well, that's for the possible Crusaders. The way that Jerusalem was broken down based by what I've researched is there were quarters for Christians, Jews, and Muslims when the city was sieged. And the Muslims forced out the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see a problem with essentially someone who lived in Jerusalem, was a Christian, but essentially stayed behind and found a way to funnel notes or things to Godfrey of Bullion.
Okay.
So he was kind of historically one of the first Crusader armies to breach the wall.
Right.
So I don't see a reason why that spy can't. They might not necessarily be there right away at the beginning of the story, but they could easily jump in and be like, you guys look Christian. I'm so-and-so. Let me help you. So to
speak. All right.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That works. That works kind of with what I was envisioning as well. Basically, the image I had was, like I said, very much the concept was a local woman who was a spy for whichever side we were on. Yeah, that absolutely works. So that means that mechanically, my character is a rogue.
Right.
My stealthy babies.
So that really gives us enough of the historic character history to go with in the game, because there's not much that would need to be known by the spy.
Right.
We would just need to choose a name.
For some reason, the name Rebecca is sticking in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with Rebecca. Maybe that's the only name that she's known by is just Rebecca. I don't know if what the status of last names is from back then.
Well, I think based on what I've seen, most of them were just a first name and then the location of where they were from. So this would be like Rebecca of Jerusalem.
Right.
So, I really think since we're doing a spy, that's probably the best route to go anyway.
Right. Because if the name got out, they would want to make it as
difficult.
As difficult for the enemy to find her as it would be easy for the allies to find her.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that just leaves us to rolling her stats.
Okay. Alrighty. I will go ahead and do that. 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. First stack of 4 dice. I am amused by my dice sometimes. Do you want me to tell you the numbers as I roll them?
Sure.
Okay. That was a 4, a 3, a 3, and a 2. Dropping the 2, that comes out to a 10. Okay, so that's a nice middle number, which is why I was amused by it. Ooh, okay. That's a 5, a 5, a 5, and a 3.
So 15.
Yeah. And then let's go with this stack. I'm one of those dice collectors. I have quite a big bag of dice, and so I have enough. Oh wow! Okay. there's 2 sixes there, a 5, and then a 1.
So that's 17.
Yep.
That's almost perfect.
Almost, yeah. As I was saying, I have enough D6s that I have 7 groups of 4.
Wow.
But I go through and I look at them and I'm like, this is the pile I'm feeling for this stat.
This one feels right.
Yeah. I leave it to a bit of randomness and fate, which where the what four are grouped together, and then I divide them up, and that's a 16 because it's a 4, a 6, and a 2.
Yep.
So I dump all my d6s into my dice tray, divide them up into groups of four, and then grab whichever stack I'm feeling at that point in time, at any point in time. So it's fate, but also, you know, strategy, right? That's how that works?
At least that's how it feels.
Yeah. 6, 5, 4, 3.
15. One more.
Yep. And this is... I think I've said this before. This is generally how I roll for stats, like the numbers I roll for stats. Like I maybe get one or two that are low, but for the most part, I'm in the 15 to 17 range mostly, not all the time, because everybody has shit luck sometimes.
Right.
Like that. That is 3 2s and a 1.
Ooh. 6. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess that's going in one of those.
I was going to say, it's a good thing there's some of these that are going to end up in a dump.
Yeah. Fate is fun. Dice and fate is funny sometimes, right, when it comes to things like that. Because I was just talking about how I sometimes get shit rolls. I personally, I'm one of those players who loves to have shit rolls because
things interesting.
Exactly, especially when it's a stat, because like you're in combat and you have to make like a you're casting a spell or something, and your DC is like 9 because you have a negative number in your casting stat. Like I know that makes some D&D players bleed from the nose in rage. But like it's good storytelling and it's fun. Right.
Okay.
All right. So that was all 6, I believe.
That was all 6, yeah.
Don't mind me, I'm just gonna continue to roll dice because it's aesthetically pleasing.
So the question is, how do you wanna handle it? I'm guessing the 10 and 6 are gonna go to wisdom and intelligence.
Yeah. That was my thought. Possibly. Especially because she's a spy. All right. So, yeah, I'm thinking that the 10 and the 6 would go to wisdom and intelligence. The way I'm going to approach this is these are what her stats, like you said, these are her stats when she was alive.
Historically alive, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that historically she has an intelligence of 6. Maybe because lack of education from the time period
makes sense, especially
like maybe she grew up on the streets and was taken in by a Christian family or something like that.
Okay.
And thus you know, or something like that. That's maybe how she became a spy in the first place.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Or something.
You don't need a education to be a spy. Not really.
Exactly. And all you really need to be able to, you know, sneak around is dexterity and wisdom. You know, and maybe some charisma.
Maybe some charisma, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So 6 intelligence, 10 wisdom. All right. So 17. I'm going to put the 17 in the dex because that's just good game sense. Plus spy, sneaky, dexterity. Plus also if we do follow the whole bit of a sniper aspect, then that's probably best to go there. So that's the...
That leaves six. You 2 15s and a 16.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put the 16 in the strength. No, because I do like the idea of her talking her way out of things.
Okay.
So I'm going to put the 15 in the strength.
Okay.
15 in con.
Okay.
And then 16 in the charisma.
Charisma.
Yeah, because you said that it would average out to a 16.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's what I'm gonna do.
Rebecca, basically her starting weapon should probably be a dagger.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'm leaning over maybe not her starting with a longbow. Kind of seems counterintuitive for a spy to be walking around with a longbow on her back.
Right. That's a little bit of an advertisement of, hi, I'm here to fight.
Right. And based on what historically happened with this battle, they're going to be easy to find.
Yeah. So she starts with a dagger. Would she have like leather armor maybe?
Because
I mean, leather armor, depending on the style of it, like if it's light leather, could blend in decently with clothing.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Okay. And she'd probably have some form of thieves' tools.
Something for the era. Similar.
Yeah.
Thieves' tools or lockpick tools.
Yeah. The basic equipment, starting equipment for a rogue include, like, so like there's rapier, short sword, all that. Ignoring all of that, looking at the basic thing, there's leather armor, two daggers, and thieves' tools.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine? Two daggers? Fine. Okay.
Okay. I think that's everything.
Yeah, yeah. Have a good night, man.
You too. So next up is Jarrett from the Bleeding Effect podcast.
Hello.
So before we start looking at your historic character, why don't you tell me a little bit about Chase?
Okay. Well, Chase, his last name being Bergeron, he is a native of Canada, of Toronto, and his profession is illustrator. Ever since he was a boy, Chase loved to draw. Wherever his teacher sat him, he would find the tools and means to draw. So everything was his medium, which got him frequently detained after school for after defacing school property and everything. It wasn't until high school that he started to take his education seriously. So then he discovered his interest in historical and archaeological studies. And from then on, his art took a new direction. So he kind of goes around to various history museums and everything. And after looking at all of these ancient artifacts, decides that he wants to take on like an art history major, or rather an art degree with a minor in history. So he is a student at the University of Toronto, and he has one of the campus jobs that he landed is to work at the university's art museum. And he has access to just tons of stuff. This also, okay. So here's how he kind of got into this. Well, I mean, he was obviously kidnapped. But, so he also, okay. I should just say he has the, he has a fascination with like strange glyphs and kind of ancient dead languages. And, so he's good at deciphering like lost languages and everything. And he kind of, that's what gives him an interest in this expedition into the past, that he will be able to speak to people living from around the time and to kind of learn more about these symbols and everything that he's always studied. So from there, should we move on to the historical character?
Well, the last we saw of Chase, he was getting ready to sit in the machine and figure out his historic ancestor was. But he stated that he was excited to learn about the True Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So he hopped in, and the question becomes is, who is his ancestor? What is their name, and what is, I guess, for lack of a better term, their profession or class?
Okay, so little did Chase know that he actually has some Greek in his heritage. His ancestor is a Greek character from the city of Antioch by the name of Yorgos Balou. I think that's how you pronounce it. And his class or his role is a rogue. He is a spy, part of a larger network that functions within and without of Antioch and pretty much throughout Asia Minor. His specialty is poisons, because he kind of doubles as an assassin. And his significance to the Crusaders is he helps them not only with taking out like smaller targets, low profile targets and enemies, but he helps them with the navigation and route planning towards their journey to Jerusalem. So he helps them get there. He's not necessarily involved with the planning of the battle tactics and the siege tactics, because he's not military, but he helps with navigation.
Okay, so he's kind of the Crusader's guide through the Middle East.
Yeah, the Sacagawea, if you will.
Okay. So that really just leaves us with rolling for their stats.
Cool. So I need the 4d20.
4d6.
4d6. Okay. That's an easy fix. There we go. Okay. So should I just read off the numbers or should I go ahead and...
Yep, just go ahead and read off the numbers that you got. Yep.
Okay, cool. I got a 2, a 3, a 6, and a 4.
That gives us a total of 13.
Okay. Right, I forgot you drop off the lowest number.
Yep.
Okay. Do I need to write these down or...
I got it for now.
Okay. Roll again. I got a 5, a 2, a 5, and a 2.
12. So far, not too bad. Okay. Just above average.
Okay. I got a 1, 3, 2, and a 6.
That gives you 11.
Okay. All right. This time it's a 2, a 4, a 6, and a 3.
13. Two more times.
Okay. You got a 1, a 5, a 4, and a 3.
12. One more time.
Okay. Got a 2, a 4, a 6, and a 2.
12. Yeah, you were really consistent.
Got a lot of 12s.
3 12s, 2 13s, and an 11. So now we just have to figure out what category these are going to go into. As a spy, I would recommend putting it the higher numbers into things like dexterity, charisma, based on the character essentially being a guide. Wisdom and intelligence wouldn't be bad either, because that would make sense. But it really comes down to what you think is best and how you want to allocate your stats.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking pretty much what you were saying about, but I was leaning, I guess more than charisma, I was leaning more towards wisdom, and dexterity is a must. So I think
so you got 2 13s and 3 stats that you are looking to prioritize. So how do you want to prioritize them? Which ones do you want the 13s to go into?
Well, definitely 13 for dexterity. And I think I'm going to go ahead and put a 13 on wisdom, and I'll put a 12 on charisma. That leaves me with strength, constitution, and
intelligence.
Oh, wisdom and intelligence aren't the same thing.
Correct.
Ooh.
Think of wisdom as like street smarts, and then intelligence like learned intelligence. like book smart.
Okay. So since he's the navigator, he's the guide, let's move that 13 to the intelligence.
Okay.
Is that right? Or which one was it? Sorry. Wisdom and intelligence, right?
Yeah.
Which one's street smarts?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Move it to wisdom.
Okay.
Or, yeah. Okay. Let me just do wisdom and intelligence 13 and be done with it.
Okay.
And then 12 for dexterity, 12 for strength, and 12 for charisma. I guess that
would leave 11 for constitution.
Yeah. I'll find out if that was a good decision or not.
Well, the good news about that is constitution is going to be, end up being chases in the simulation.
Okay.
So one thing we haven't mentioned prior is starting weapons. Mm-hmm. With your character being a spy, I think it would make sense for them to start with either one or two daggers.
Mm-hmm.
And then with you coming in with the army, I would be okay with some kind of bow.
Okay.
But and the last thing would be armor.
Right.
Metal's not cheap at this point, so I would probably go with leather.
Yeah, I was thinking that he needs to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, fluidly, so leather, armor. I was gonna whatever the lightest class, and I think leather is the lightest one. Breastplate, yeah, medium, so. And then like full-on battle armor, like heavy.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so leather, yep. Armor. And he said, so weapons, yeah, daggers was like my first choice. Daggers or throwing knives?
I'd go with daggers because from a game mechanic, they can be thrown too.
Cool. So I have... So does everybody get one ranging weapon? Is that why for the bow or... No? Okay.
No, not necessarily. It comes down to what they're doing. Like, if your character was going to be a spy already within the city, a bow would make them stand out, and it would be pointless.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, if I'm offered a bow, I won't say no to the bow. Don't know if we established if there's crossbows or not. I think just regular bow, because I was
they would about, be yeah. Based on your character, it would make more sense to be a standard bow
because crossbows take forever to reload.
Well, not just right. That they're not, but
they're cumbersome.
They're cumbersome and they're not really cheap, so there's not a ton of them, right?
Yeah, but rogue kind of... Well, I guess I'm not the thief rogue, so I can't just, like, steal really easily.
Well, through the campaign, the story itself, yeah. But I don't see your character picking up a crossbow before Jerusalem.
Okay. Because it just wasn't readily available. Okay.
And if he's from Antioch, there's not much. I don't remember there being any other battles between Antioch and Jerusalem.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was just, it's I don't know how far, like I was meant to Google map it and look and see how much mileage they pretty much had to trek, but yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah. So standard bow, and we'll do two daggers.
That sounds like a good idea.
And what else do I need to choose?
I actually think that's it. everything else we can discuss on the Discord until we are ready to play.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, I will see you there.
See you there.
So next up is Kate. Hello, Kate.
Hello, again.
Let's start by talking about the modern day character that you're playing.
All right, so I am playing Mercutio Mark Vasari, who is a jock. He's a humanities student, musician, well, aspiring musician, secretly nerdy, and, you know, he likes ancient history, he likes the history of crusades and all of that, but he has an appearance, you know, to maintain, so he doesn't want to be associated with nerds or other things. He prides himself on being charismatic, but that remains to be seen. And he's not the smartest cookie. And that's about it, more or less.
Okay. I'm sure more about him will come out as we play.
Oh, sure.
So last we saw Mark, he was just sitting down to find out who his historic ancestor is from Jerusalem in 1090 to 99, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
So, who is their historic character? What class are they going to be?
Considering what kind of people would have been at the walls and in the expedition, I think like a fighter would make sense.
So, basic soldier?
Yeah, probably. An infantryman, probably. Okay. Not a lot of knights back then. Archers probably, but I have the feeling we already have an archer in the team.
At least one.
I think like a regular foot soldier, like maybe not like particularly stealthy, but like stout. That would probably make the most sense for him.
So are you looking to base your soldier on the barbarian class?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that would make the most sense.
Okay, makes sense to me.
I'm not a good defender.
No, to me, soldier kind of, what's the term I'm looking for? Kind of bloodlust kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Do you have a name by chance?
Ooh, for the ancestor. Well, I think Mercutio is an ancient enough name. I don't know if he was there in 1099, but I think, you know, we could keep that, or we could use the Latin version of it, which could have been Marcus. If this is an Italian, you know, person who's been sent to Jerusalem, he's probably like coming from any of the city states of Italy. So probably Marcus would make sense for the time.
Okay. And do you have any kind of idea on like how we got there? Like, I'm going to assume that he's going to be in the army of Godfrey.
I was thinking, Godfrey's like the general commander. I was thinking, since my character is Italian American, I forgot to mention it, that he could be part of the contingent that sailed from Genoa, and their commander was Guglielmo Embriaco. And they were like, you know, infantry people. They were like coming from a sailing republic that had bankers and loan sharks. and crossbowmen and all sort of, you know, sneaky people fighting there. So I thought that would make sense for him. Not to be like, I don't know, a French nobleman or like someone who has the calling, but like someone who's there to make a game, you know, to get some coin. Not particularly religious, but it'll do what is needed for coin.
Okay, that sounds good for me. I think that leaves us to rolling for stats.
All right. So, what would you like me to roll first?
Well, let's roll all six groups.
All right.
So 4d6, drop the low.
Oh my god. Okay. I have 1d20, so you're going to have to be patient.
Oh, that's fine.
All right. So the first roll is an excellent 14.
Okay.
Okay. Then 11. Then 16. Okay. Then 18. I swear I'm not making this up. 14 again. And... well, a 20.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. Okay. Whoops. Sorry. So, yeah. So, that happened.
Definitely better than some that have rolled.
Oh, Lord.
So, here's the question. Mm-hmm. Question of all questions now. How do you want to allocate these stats?
Okay. So, as a fighter... I think there should be, the highest should probably be on strength for a barbarian.
Makes sense.
I think so. So we're going to put the 20 on strength. And then probably constitution and dexterity should be higher. Okay. I think like 18 on constitution, 16 on dexterity.
Okay.
I mean, I think intelligence or maybe wisdom should be that 11. Not the brightest boy.
Makes a lot of sense.
Right? Probably wisdom.
Okay.
Because, you know, to be a sort of smuggler or whatever, you need to be vaguely intelligent. And that will leave us with the 2 14s on intelligence and charisma.
Yeah, that makes sense. The wisdom would be lower because he doesn't need to be book smart.
Right. He needs to be street smart and punch.
Yep.
So that works.
Okay. So with him being a barbarian, I don't necessarily see him as overly like muscle man kind of thing.
Nah.
So I could see his starting weapon either being like a two-handed pole or steel would have been hard to find. But maybe at this point he'd have found his own sword.
Yeah, like a big sword, like a two-handed sword, you think? Or like a one-handed sword and like something else. I'm fine fighting with a pike.
I would say, based on what your ideas are for his history, that he's found a sword, okay, but he doesn't like to use it because it's like, this is mine, I don't want to damage it.
Yeah. Oh, like that makes perfect sense.
Like it's his one heirloom kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so then, like, two-handed pole, like a pike.
Yep.
Something of the sort. Yeah, that would make sense.
And that would make a lot of sense for a soldier.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, okay. Like, two-handed, I'm taking notes.
And probably light armor, kind of leather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Period, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about, like, you know, giant chainmail and everything else. And, like,
no, you'd have to be, at this point, to have something like that, you'd have to be noble birth.
Yeah, absolutely not. We don't do noblemen here. We don't like the aristocracy.
And really, that's it.
Yep. But okay.
All right. That is perfect. All right. Thank you.
That was excellent. Thank you.
All right, and we'll see you on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we have Luis from the Rookeries Archive.
Hi.
So, the last we left your character, of Cords, she was getting into essentially an animus-like device. So, What can you tell us about Cordelia?
Yeah, so Cordelia Harmon, she is a sort of early 20s Brit, and is a competitive archer, because I'm staying on brand for this.
Of course.
So basically, she's like, you know, the people that end up going to the Olympics? That's basically her career pathway at this point. Like, she does international competitions for a living, for archery. And basically, when she was younger, she was sort of scouted by some branch of Abstergo and whatever. And they are effectively her sponsors for all of this. So okay. They pay all the fees, they give her all the good equipment, all the like fitness training, all the nutritionists, all sort of thing.
Okay. Okay.
I just thought it was a really weird dynamic that you don't really see that often. It's like, yeah, she's ambitious. It's a little bit like teenage, like it's all about me-ish, which wasn't intended.
You said the early 20s, right?
Yeah, so she's okay. Around my age. So okay. Like 21 to 25-ish.
Okay, let's see if there's anything else about her that I can think. Because I think you really hit a lot of the points of her. So that really brings us just to your historic character. Have you chosen a class for this character?
Yeah, so in terms of like D&D classes, I thought it'd be interesting to not really have someone like Cordelia and have like someone different. So she has to sort of potential character growth, if that is even okay. Such a thing. So my idea is for sort of like a D&D cleric, where they still have the option to fight, but they're more interested in the aiding side of things.
So what would you say this historic character's profession is?
More of like what we would now associate with like a modern day nurse or like a combat nurse.
Okay.
Because it's been so long since I've studied the Crusades. Because like my thinking of doing this a little bit meta was Cordelia knows nothing about history. So I'm just working off whatever I remember from when I last studied it. So okay. I've done.
Now, is this so where Cordelia gets her natural talent for archery? Is it through this ancestor?
There's a little bit. I think that's more of Cordelia's training, honing it to what makes Cordelia cords.
Okay.
But it's more a little bit of a difference. Like, there's such a difference of shooting a person versus shooting a target. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So what is this character's name?
She's called Matilda.
Matilda, okay.
I haven't really figured out her last name, but her name is Matilda. She's also I haven't decided if she's French or British, but maybe Brittany.
Okay.
Matilda Brittany.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't think there weren't a lot of surnames at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. So with Matilda, what historically happened with this character? Like, the game's going to be a simulation, so how does Matilda go from Brittany to Jerusalem?
Well, it's the First Crusade, right?
Yes.
So Pope Urban II called the First Crusade. And she is basically back home, she's more of like a huntress type thing. So my sort of thinking for this was, though it's a couple of hundred years later, there's this idea that in the medieval period, certain professions, women could take up the profession of their husband when they died, like with blacksmiths. And it sort of honed that idea of, well, we don't know that it didn't happen earlier. So okay. She sort of picked up maybe her father's or her brother's, you know, way of life and kind of went along to hunts. Sort of, if you've watched Outlander, it's what Claire does in season one. She's at the hunts or like the sort of big tournaments helping heal people, but has the bow for safety.
Okay, so how does that bring her into the Crusader army, essentially?
So when the First Crusade was called, this is going back to like the remnants of my historical knowledge, there was sort of this, basically the entire cities of men would just be called with like serfdom obligations to go with their noble lord. And so would maybe some healers, maybe some old ladies, like older women to do washing and cooking and stuff for the army. So she's part of the army and more of, she's like the assistant. So she's there to help them through obligation to the Lord of Brittany or whatever.
Okay.
Because her family's also gone.
Okay, that makes sense. So that really just brings us to rolling for stats.
Yeah. I will do that on D&D Beyond because I have no dice for once.
That's a shock.
I know. My giant dice bag isn't even here today. That is...
Oh. I thought okay. You just kept that on your person just for... like a random roll or something.
I do have an emergency dice set in my bag. As nerdy as that sounds, I do have one in my bag. But my bag's not in the room. The one time when it's needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just... Okay. Ooh. Ooh, interesting. Okay. So I pre-rolled a couple...
Okay.
While we were talking. So I've 13, 17, 10, 11, 11, and an 8.
Wow, that's a range.
Very different from Cordelia. Yeah, yeah. Cordelia's lowest, I think, was... Oh, it was like... I don't think it was a 10. It was... Maybe you've even been... Cordelia rolled 2 17s, I think.
Okay.
When I did hers. So it's a vast difference.
Yeah, so where are we going to assign these, I guess?
I think the 10 has to be a constitution.
Okay.
Purely for the fact that, you know, her health is nothing special. She is just...
She's like, a peasant, so that makes sense.
Maybe the 8 for charisma.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, you're in the wild a lot of the time.
Or so you're healing, she's not really a people person.
Yeah, she's confident in herself, but more like to other people and like taking the lead and such. Stuff that Cordelia's good at, Matilda isn't.
Okay.
I'm sort of trying to build it in reverse, which I thought... maybe the 13 for strength.
Okay.
Ooh, 17 and 2 11s left.
Yep.
What have I got? Dexterity, so intelligence, and wisdom.
Correct.
For a healer. See, I can never get wisdom and intelligence the right way around, but I think the 17 has to be wisdom.
Okay.
Purely because I think in D&D, that is what you use for your medicine checks.
Yeah.
Which makes sense for a healer. And then 11 for the other two.
Okay. So that's intelligence and dex. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So based on what you've told me about your character, I would say she's probably got some leather armor. Mm-hmm. And I would assume her starting weapon set will probably be a longbow and maybe a dagger if she's lucky.
Yeah.
Because even if it wouldn't be something for fighting, she'd have a knife or something to at least skin her catch and cut her meat, that kind of thing.
Yeah, or cut away like bloody clothes and stuff. Yeah. Utility weapon.
Yep. Absolutely. Especially at this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think that really brings us to an end. And if there are any questions or thoughts before we sit down and have the historic game, we'll have that discussion on Discord.
Yeah.
All right.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And that is everyone's historic character that we are going to start seeing next week through the simulation. Let me know what you think over on Twitter at @visions_AC. And of course, you can get everyone's information on where you can find them in the show notes below. And I want to thank you for joining me today, and to be sure to tune in every Tuesday for new episodes. And of course, next week we get into the huge simulation that will travel throughout the rest of the month. And if you love stories about Assassin's Creed lore, please tell your friends to follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting platform. And if you want to support this podcast and help provide for new episodes, please visit my Linktree at linktr.ee/visionsofthepasts. Here you'll find links to my Twitter, TikTok, and other social media channels, and of course for information on how you can support this channel. And until next time, my assassin friends, make sure to follow the creed. And to those Templars listening, may the Father of Understanding guide you.